This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Last month, President Obama and Congress set aside $20 billion for green collar job creation as part of the economic stimulus package. The phrase green collar jobs may seem new to many Americans, but at least one New York City nonprofit, Sustainable South Bronx, has been training a new class of green workers for the past 5 years. Michaela Crater is the executive director of the group, and I'm very pleased that it has brought her to the show today. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. The EPA defines sustainability as meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. How do you think that can be applied to the South Bronx?
There's a lot of room to improve. Essentially, you know, when we think about sustainability and about meeting current needs without compromising future needs, places like the South Bronx are the places where we could really, really use that sort of transformation. And so by bringing types of investment and development that create job opportunities without compromising our health or lack of prosperity is the way to go.
Well, we just talked about how trees might help people with allergies, asthma in particular. The asthma rates are pretty high in the South Bronx, aren't they?
They're extremely high.
Do we know why?
Well, we can look at the type of development that exists in the South Bronx. We got 60,000 trucks that come into the neighborhood on a weekly basis. We have 4 power plants, sewage treatment plant, a plant that actually pelletizes sewage sludge for the entire city of New York. All of that happens in one community in the South Bronx. And so it's not surprising when you look at those factors, those facts, why health is such a challenged situation for Bronx residents, particularly South Bronx residents. Again, 60,000 trucks, diesel trucks.
Well, do you think that areas like Hunts Point have been historically overlooked by city planners and social service providers?
I definitely think it's been overlooked in the sense that, you know, there was kind of, let's focus on industry without looking at the folks who have been living in this neighborhood. It used to be a walk-to-work community. A lot of jobs left that community after World War II, and the type of development that came into it was not ones that produced high numbers of jobs. And the jobs that did come were really focused on food distribution without really giving the proper links to local residents to get those jobs. And they really stopped investing in creating a really sustainable quality environment.
So we have a lot of jobs there, but not for the local residents.
Correct. There's been a lack of linkages, and that's where a lot of policymakers can really do a lot for the neighborhood. And fortunately, several years ago, the mayor's office did convene a Hunts Point task force, and we, along with another local nonprofit, together worked with the city to build a greenway plan. So those sorts of linkages are really going to transform the neighborhood in a wonderful way soon.
Well, which came first, the decision to have all these trucks come into the area, or the fact that the area was so poor? I mean, did they say, let's do that, let's have garbage trucks go to transfer stations in the same area that we have all of the vegetables and, right, and a lot of other foodstuffs shipped into New York?
It goes back to zoning. The issue of zoning, basically, again, this was a walk-to-work community. It was many, many manufacturers that were in this community. When those left at the turn of after post-World War II, what came in their wake was basically businesses that either were garbage or they were truck distribution companies. And the city of New York played a really big role in allowing those uses to come here, not only because they could, you know, they set the legal tone of zones, zoning law, but also because they created incentives for businesses to leave Manhattan and come to the South Bronx.
But it's also dumping all sorts of polluting factors on a poor neighborhood.
Yes, there's a clustering of these uses here.
So did this program get its start in the South Bronx because the conditions there are ideal for a sustainable development?
You could look at it that way. Ideal in the sense that we could have the largest impact given the fact that the real lack of resources and support for a green infrastructure. We have so much room to grow and really grow in a positive way.
Well, has your program received much support from the city?
Actually, not so much. That's something, you know, it's hard
despite the fact that the city has played such a major role in creating this problem?
It, Yeah, exactly. Considering that they have created the problem in many different ways in terms of bad policies or practices, and there's a lot of room for opportunity. That's, again, I mean, we are working with them as a partner for the Greenway Plan, which is really, really productive. However, you know, they're still trying to create certain projects that are not supportive of sustainability.
Well, the phrase green collar job is an umbrella for many different kinds of occupations. How is it applied in what you're doing?
Well, we started a green collar job training program back in 2003. Annette Williams, who runs our job training program, really has a clear vision on what it means to transform people and transform our environment at the same time. So essentially, we take individuals who have been underemployed or unemployed. Many of our students actually were formerly incarcerated. And we take them over the course of 14 weeks, and we give them hard skills and soft skills to basically restore the environment. So traditionally, we focused on the ecology restoration. So we work on the Bronx River. We restore the riverbank. We plant trees and other things. But we've also launched an additional job training program focused on restoring our building so that they're energy efficient. Again, this is another form of a green collar job in a different job sector. But it all is about transforming our economy.
You mentioned the Bronx River. We've done a number of shows about pollution in Newtown Creek on the Queens-Brooklyn border. Is the Bronx River is in similarly bad shape?
It once was. Fortunately, we have very, very exciting things to report, including the fact that about a little over a year ago, we saw the first beaver there in over 100 years. It came back to the river. A lot of our work, and along with other partners, have been really instrumental in transforming the Bronx River so that it can be the resource it once was in a really positive way. Oftentimes, places, particularly urban communities, we've turned our backs on the natural resources. In urban communities, we forget that there's all these beautiful things that we've overlooked, and there's a lot of jobs that can come out of restoring these jewels.
We can find, like those beavers, we can find old native plants and
exactly.
Reintroduce them to the environment.
Exactly.
Well, what happens to these you said that many of these people are not kids, your students.
Correct.
I'd assume that they're still not older people.
Actually, our students range in age. I mean, we've had recently graduated high school students or folks who got their GEDs. We also have folks who've just, been on public assistance, have never held down a job, but are really trying to transform their lives and are tired of a kind of dead-end situations. We're really trying to create pathways out of poverty using the green economy as a way to do it.
And where do they go after they graduate from your program?
They go in a number of different areas. Some of the jobs they land in include Parks Department, New York City Parks Department, partner Bronx River Alliance, which is a public-private entity. We also work with a lot of landscaping firms and solar panel installers, as well as green roof installers.
Now, green roof is something we discussed in our first hour. How is that being applied in the South Bronx? There are a lot of gardens being developed on tops of tenement houses.
One of the interesting things we did at Sustainable South Bronx is actually launched a for-profit company to install green roofs. So far, we've actually installed about four different green roofs. We've installed one on our building in the Hunts Point section of the South Bronx. We actually installed one in a business in Hunts Point, as well as a brownstone. And we recently installed one on Sarah Lawrence College. And so, the way we look at it is, greening roofs and is not only better for the bottom line of the building owner, doubles the lifespan, it also retains water and it provides great coverage and lowers your energy costs, but also creates a great number of jobs.
Although you do have to retrofit some of the roofs first, don't you?
Right. Well, that is part of the package. You need to make sure you do an assessment to make sure it can handle the weight of a green roof. But green roofs are not like your typical, it's not your typical garden. It's a different type of soil medium, different type of plants.
I spoke just a few moments ago with Drew Betchert of the Million Trees Initiative. Are we seeing more trees in the South Bronx now?
We are. One of the things that we did a number of years ago is we worked with the U.S. Forest Service to do a tree survey of Hunts Point, and we found that Hunts Point was actually one of the neighborhoods that had the least amount of trees per resident than any other neighborhood. So we fortunately, applied to resources and through NYSERDA, one of the state programs, were able to get a lot of trees planted in Hunts Point. We're close to over 400 trees that we were able to basically get locked into the Hunts Point section. The other Another big missing element, though, I have to say, is stewardship. Without proper stewardship of these trees, they're not going to survive. One out of every two new trees in New York typically will not survive unless because no one's watering it. It's a very tough place, New York, and not just for people but for our trees. And unless there's a good policy to create jobs to give stewardship, all these million trees are not going to do so well. So that's a big thing that we've been advocating for, and that actually we are actually doing in the South Bronx. We have two greenway stewards that actually take care of the street tree network and work with businesses and local residents to make them aware of how to do that and actually be part of the process.
Does Sustainable South Bronx plan on applying for any of the Green Collar Job Creation grants from the economic stimulus package?
We do intend to. Basically, we've been in the process of launching additional programs. And really, we believe our ability to leverage the hard skills and soft skills and really transform individuals makes our program really successful. It is marked by an 82% placement rate. And we also believe it can do a lot to transform communities beyond the South Bronx.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. Michaela Crater is the Executive Director of Sustainable South Bronx. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having me.